Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, the debates we have when the mics aren't on. And we'll see how the show goes. We might even get you involved. But it's Nick, Joel, and Barry till 4. And we've been throwing it out there in terms of at what point do the Texans achieve enough in a season that has been up and down, to say the least, that you say I'm satisfied with what they have accomplished. The season was a success. I've already said you're not going to win the Super Bowl. I think we've all agreed on that. But look, they have a daunting task, to say the least. I don't agree with JJ that no one that's left in the playoffs looks at going to Foxborough and thinks it's impossible to win. I think that there are several teams out there that would look forward to the opportunity, but even more so would look forward to an opportunity to take them on in the Super Bowl, like the Seattles of the world has done and others, and said, look, bottom line is, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I said that for the Texans, and I also said it on the flip side in the NFC. Bottom line is, if you're going to be the best, beat the best. So they're the number one seed. So they were the best in the regular season. Nothing says you can't be the hot team that's the best team in the postseason, and it gets you places that you all want to go. And we even referenced it in the NBA. The greatest regular season in the history of the NBA is almost completely forgotten about by the Golden State Warriors because they didn't finish the deal. It don't mean a thing in the regular season if you don't end up with that ring at the end of the deal.
True.
100%.
But the difference is, though, is some of the teams that have done that in the past, a la the Giants coming out of the wild card and, you know, ending the Patriots run or whatever, those instances that you want to throw out.
Come on, throw the other one out there.
They had a legit quarterback.
Well, and throw, well, first of all, but throw the other one out there.
What
besides the Giants?
Which one?
Well, the one up north where they did the same thing. They entered as the hot team with as the wild card and did the same thing the Giants did.
I don't know.
You hate them.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. But they still got 12 at quarterback.
I won't say it. You
hey,
can't
maybe,
get me.
Maybe we get Brock to change his number to 12 next year, and he can be like the good quarterbacks that all wear 12.
Stop it. But that's the difference, right? Like, I mean, yeah.
Well, and to your point, Bear, the big thing is, it's the hot, unlike other sports and other teams, like in the NBA, you can be the hot team getting into the playoffs, but if you don't have the home court and all that other stuff, you probably still aren't going to win. In the NFL, the Giants, Packers, a couple other teams have proven, if you're the hottest team coming in, even though you're a wild card or the sixth seed, you can do some damage. Steelers have done, I mean, look, there's been plenty of examples, but the most glaring to me are the Giants and the Packers, who came from the wild card, who came from the 5-6 seed, and ran the table simply because they were smoking hot at the right time.
Yeah.
And you're right, the Texans aren't that team.
The difference is yeah, the caliber of quarterback that they've had.
And Keenan makes a great point, too. Even last week, and I thought it would be more 50-50 split on who they were picking to win the game, but the great point was, as much as you hate Brock, he was your one coming into the season, and you were going to battle with your one. The Raiders were going to battle with their three. You should win that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no – yeah, I would agree with that.
And here's the daunting bad news, even if a 16-point-plus point spread isn't enough for this weekend.
Uh-oh.
You got shut out and blown out in Foxborough early in the season against Jacoby Brissett. Now you're taking him on in the playoffs with a red-hot Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
27-0 may be the first half if you're not careful. I prefaced it, if you're not careful. So, not that I'm saying you need too much of a dose of reality, because from a player's perspective, you got to come in going balls out thinking, I believe we can win, and we're going to do everything we can to win.
I think most of the players on the team feel like if they play their best football, that they can hang with the Patriots. Realistically, I think that, you know, I think they know that even if that happens, the chances of them winning is not great. But I would imagine you don't get to that level and think, well, we're not going to win. Like, guys just don't have that mentality.
I think the offense absolutely has to have that killer mentality, because that's what they've always struggled with. And we talk about what the Patriots are going to eliminate in terms of their strengths. I mean, the only receivers I feel like Brock is comfortable throwing to are the tight ends. And on offense, if they eliminate the tight ends, which is really the only form of offense we've got going besides the running game.
Can I preface that? the tight ends, and any time DeAndre flashes an open front shoulder.
Yeah.
Because I saw a stat, and I was going to throw it to the numbers guy, and we didn't have time today. But the stat that I saw says of Brock Osweiler's interceptions this year,
nine of them
were when he targeted DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about Hopkins in this game.
Wait, why?
I don't think you don't have to worry about Brock throwing to Hopkins in this game. He hasn't had much success throwing to Hopkins.
You know how mad Barry and I are going to just bombard your Twitter account.
That's fine.
With the first eight attempts to try and squeeze a 30-70 ball into DeAndre Hopkins on Saturday night.
I love that we don't call them 50-50 balls on this show. We know that they're 30-70 balls.
Yes.
That's how he throws them.
Exactly right. That's why I always do that. Yeah, yeah, everybody else can make it a 50-50 ball for Hopkins. Brock's are 30-70.
No, we've established that long ago.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why those numbers are up. I mean, it's just his inability to be accurate in the intermediate and downfield passing game, and that's I think that's his thing now. I mean, that's who he is. We've seen almost a full season of it. That's what you got.
Come on. You got a little tingle. You got a little excited.
I did.
When
I
he threw that deep ball.
I was like, I can't believe
Trapp
this.
Trapp was like the black cloud yesterday. Trapp comes in and goes, yeah, but you know he didn't get 2 feet in. That was a bad call. I'm like, what? I go, don't say that on the air, because Texans fans got giddy with the fact that he made a completion on a long ball that actually looked like it took some skill and some touch. And Trapp's going to blow it out of he didn't get both feet in. They missed that call.
No,
I'm like, come on, man. First of all, I still think he got 2 feet in. But, wow. I mean, that's when I went, wait a minute. Maybe there's a big old wake-up call that happened somewhere where we weren't expecting it, and this guy might snap out of it.
I
don't know. Maybe next year's a better opportunity. Maybe there's a better chance that he can work on some things all off season.
I love that it's the playoffs, and we're like, well, maybe next year.
But again, when you don't have many choices,
yeah,
you have to do what you have to do. And by the way, what you missed yesterday was I threw out, to JJ's point, because JJ went completely off the rails. I threw out, in most people's cases, the Texans, right? But if your team's playing this weekend in the NFL, who's your ideal broadcast team to do the game? And you can either pick the network and the people that are doing the big games for the networks, or you can make it your Hall of Fame wish list. So I said, because Tirico left ESPN, said my ideal game scenario would be Tirico on play-by-play, Gruden on color, Tracy Wolfson on the sidelines, because I like the fact that she's easy on the eyes and she puts some effort into it.
Okay.
Travis went completely off the rails and said Madden, Summerall, and I forget what else he said after that. And then JJ took it even a step further and went, he agreed with me on Tirico and Gruden, but then said his sideline reporter was Jenna Jameson. And I was like, wait, what? You can't do that. And then Trapp and Nick were like, and first of all, come with a porn star in the last 10 years.
Yeah, she at her prime, Jenna was hot.
I understand
but
that.
Now she's anorexic and it just don't look right.
Yeah.
Like Tito,
she's also like what?
Tito needs to
50?
Get her a sandwich.
Is she not 50 now?
I don't know. I don't keep up with their ages.
I'm just saying. Well, I'm just saying for the simple fact of saying you can only ride the same bike for so long, and eventually it's going to break down. just saying that.
Yeah, that's true. She, I don't know that I would want her now. So, who did we determine was the number one rated porn star right now?
Well, we haven't,
did
and then JJ
not?
Shied away from it because he's afraid his wife is listening.
He
that's where
it up
we
and
went
then he
today.
Runs from it.
So that's why I said he better tweet us that because one way or another, he's going to have to come up with a better answer, or he loses complete credibility with us. Because I mean, just in like somewhat on-air, off-air conversations we've had in the last 3 months, we've come up with better options.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, somebody
which
just
has gotten us, by the way, before you get to that, all reprimanded by the IT department for the fact that we checked these while we were on the air on company time, but that's a different story.
Did we get reprimanded?
No.
Oh, I was like,
I was just saying
really?
It for the listener's benefit.
I didn't get that memo.
Because I'm pretty sure if AD came down the hallway and told any one of us we were doing something wrong on the internet, we'd be so far back of our computer and keyboard in about 3 seconds, it would be not funny.
Oh, well, here you go. Someone has sent me a top five now. I'll have to do some research at the break.
See, and that's when AD comes down the hallway with a ruler
it
in his hand.
It says to Joel Berry and Nick, JJ's top five porn stars, Carter Cruz, Eva Lavia, Riley Reed, Tanner Mays, and Amber Rain.
Riley Reed. I'm familiar with Riley Reed.
Oh, you're going to act like you didn't recognize the rest of those?
The rest I do not recognize.
Yeah, I don't. Carter Crews sounds like a dude. I've heard of Riley Reid, but I can't say I've heard of any of the other ones.
Carter Crews sounds like a dude. That sounds like a,
I was exactly.
It sounds like a character Denzel would play in a like a cop gangster movie. Yep. Right? Like
kind of does.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if I'm going to research that one, but I'll check the others. If the others check out, okay, maybe.
Man, it's been going down at that corner for the last 5 years, at least until Carter Crews came into the neighborhood. That's exactly right. That's what it sounds like. But hey, all right. So I'm sure that we're going to start getting our top fives now, and that's going to be a top five probably not worthy of airtime.
Yeah, Christy Mack. No, not going to. I don't think that's number one. I'm sorry.
Nope.
I'm just telling you, too, when you get married, it all changes.
It does. Oh, it totally does.
Yeah, no question. There's nothing is at leisurely, casually, and not to worry about time anymore.
You're pretty much just going crazy right now.
Yeah, I know. You're pretty much left with the Victoria's Secret catalog once you get married, right?
Even that, and there's a there's that one, and there's another one.
Did you? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm trying to think of. There's another one like that, too.
Adam and Eve.
No, not that bad. This is like because she orders a lot of clothing, on you know, and stuff like that. But there's one with a bunch of saucy models wearing some pretty outstanding outfits.
Saucy?
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, the minute that that thing, if it was on the back counter and she put it face down,
yeah.
And if she comes back in the kitchen and it's now face up, that bad boy is getting recycled. It's not just going in the trash.
Luke is
it's
on the
going
call board.
Flat. Oh, and JJ is coming back. You can't wait because the man's trying to save his credibility with the show. JJ's coming back after the break.
No, go ahead. I've got a bunch of stuff.
And
all
we've
going
got a
once.
Lot
we'll
of stuff flying. Thanks to JJ, in fact. So JJ will actually let you do a Pete and repeat today and get back in on the show. But we want to know what you think about a lot of things. I'm not sure we want to know if you want to know talk about this. But, hey, we're open to all things into consideration today because it's a Tuesday. And for no other reason. It's ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
El Jefe is definitely making his presence felt more than we need today on Twitter. And he's making the worst bets in the history of mankind, so he's going to go on blast. We're going to call him out, and we're going to see if he can come up with a better idea, because I just made a counter-proposal. El Jefe weeks ago told me the Texans would end up in the Super Bowl in Houston, be the first team to ever do it. And I kept saying, what do you want to bet? Because I didn't have the confidence he did, and I still don't. And he's still throwing it out there. And he said, if they do, he wants two tickets to the Houston Super Bowl party that we're promoting, that we're all going to be at, the Thursday of Super Bowl week here in Houston.
Okay.
He comes back with, and if they don't, I'll get you guys a pizza.
What?
I'm like, one pizza? No. Here's the deal. And this is light, but it's not even a comparison to the offer he made. So my counter proposal is four pizzas with the size and toppings and everything that we so desire, if they don't. And if they do, we'll find a way to get you two tickets to the gal party. Now, we're waiting for his response, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be a Josh response and not an El Jefe, if you know what I mean.
Huh? I don't.
I always say that when he tweets
with
confidence, then he's El Jefe.
I got you. You're right.
When he calls, he's Josh.
Well, people...
Oh, I thought you were doing his voice there.
some people don't.
It was either
public.
You or Trey at that point doing a voice.
Some people aren't public, you know. They get shy. Like I know guys that are hilarious comedians when they write, but once you put them on stage, they can't do it. So
take my guy JJ.
Somebody said Amber Rain is dead. By the way, I don't know. Pornhub apparently ranks all of the porn stars.
Oh,
I wonder what the rankings is. Is it like you know, like instead of stars, is it like she's got 3.5
dongers?
Yeah, or something like that. I was gonna say penises, but okay, we could go with dongers. Yeah, I'm like, I wonder that, like, yeah, I need to go, I need to investigate.
Here's me appeasing the wife. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah. I need to go look at this. Fredericks of Hollywood. Is that the catalog?
They still make those? No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
But do they still make that catalog?
Somebody texted that in. I don't know.
I remember back in the day, I remember there were stores at the mall. But I thought they went out of business.
Have you ever seen anything from like Adam and Eve adult novelties?
I have not. I've heard of the company, but I have not seen their
I always laughed at their commercials because they'll say like they'll you usually see them late at night and they'll be like, Adam and Eve, with every order you get a surprise mystery gift. I'm like, really? Like, you know, like I just ordered a fleshlight and some like lube and handcuffs and dirty moves. What are you surprising me with at this? Like it would be surprising if you sent me a Bible. That would surprise me way more than any other stuff you could send me. It's that always freaked me out. Like I wonder, like I could never order anything because that would just show up and then you'd start getting catalogs to your house and my wife would be like, why are you, where are these coming from? I have no idea. I don't know.
I have one that I would respond to you with that, but I don't know if it's ready for airtime, so I'll have to check with you guys before we bring that out. But yeah, the first thing that came popped into
someone said Bridget the Midget for top porn star. Oh, and I
saw that.
I won't allow this.
Now, I understand the term different strokes for different folks, yeah, but let's not go too far. All right, JJ's back. We teased it. We build it.
You know what? I just proved something to you, Joel. I told you that because I drive so much between Dallas and San Antonio that I schedule my time so that from 1 to 4 I'm driving, so right, I can listen to this show, which makes me very loyal. And I just proved I was listening because I was taken kind of a whooping by you guys by not having the, you know, maybe losing my credibility. So not only did I text it in, and I will send some pictures, but I will tell you that those top three, Carter Cruz, Ava LaVia, and Riley Reed, are as hot as anybody in the industry.
Okay.
And I would ask you guys
not
to,
that you would know,
try, not that we would know, but try to catch the first scene to a movie called Fantasies with Carter Cruz.
Fantasies. And
Barry's already typing it in.
That would get a dead man around, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Make a dead man get up. All right?
JJ.
So, and Amber Rain is not dead, still makes movies.
I got to make sure I have my mute on.
JJ, you do realize, by the way, that there's a new software that can trace the internet that you have done on your phone in the last 24 hours, and your wife already knows how to download it.
Well, she's an internet expert, but if she wants to go that far, that's okay. Then maybe she'd have to just spice things up a little bit.
Oh,
well, the gauntlet has been thrown down in the house of JJ. Look out.
Well, I don't want to lose any credibility on this show because you know how much I like to call in and get it. And Barry's just cracking me up. So, anyway, there was my list. I sent it in. I will send some pics to follow.
I like
and
it.
And that's why I called back in because I'm
thanks,
not losing
JJ.
My
appreciate
cred
you calling
on this
back
show.
In, brother. All right, now drive carefully and don't grab the stick shift if you don't need it. So we went from the house of JJ and he's trying to throw down the gauntlet of the house of VJJ, possibly, with the wife. I don't know. It's
like
out
it.
There.
I like it. That was smooth.
Jeez.
I like that a lot. Yeah, you did good.
So
there.
At least he came back for that one, so to speak. All right. Well, Brian, we see you. And Barry, what do you got?
I'm going to do research on
the. Oh, I bet you are. And the research scares me, especially if under the desk I start hearing the Woody Woodpecker.
You got any Jergens in there, Nick?
Jergens?
Yeah, my hands are ashy. I need to. My elbows. I got
Nick,
I got
you know
ashy
the Vaseline
elbows.
That you've been using to lubricate the wires in there?
Jergens.
Yeah.
That's what he went to.
That was
to.
A very specific request, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Very specific.
I know what I like. Okay? I know what I like.
Scented. All right. Hey, we got much more show to get to. Brian, we see you. We're coming to you next.
Oh.
Easy now. Plenty. We're at the halfway point. We're at halftime. Two quarters to go or one half still? To put in play, we're waiting for you to tee up the ball. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, so the consensus is I couldn't say the funny rebuttal. But it was funny, safe to say. So I won't. And you guys keep throwing out suggestions, but I do have to say, suggestion of the day goes to J Mark.
Yeah.
No, not J Mark. No, not J Mark. J Mark still wants to talk about Chris Brown and Soulja Boy in that.
Yeah, who would
fight.
Win in a fight?
Yeah, and I kind of was kicking it around with him one day a little bit and also was talking about Tale of the Tape. I had to see that first.
Uh huh.
But that's. That's he's not the only one. People have kicked.
You know
it
who would win in a fight if they both knocked themselves irrelevant? The fans would. I don't care about either of those cats and their stupid Twitter arguments.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it is J Mark. Yes, J. Mark did throw that out there, and he gets kudos for the day because that was the best recommendation. I think I speak for all of us. That was the best recommendation we've seen so far.
Who, the Bella Anderson?
Yes.
Man, Abella XXX on Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. Just hit that media tab.
Yep. Feel free to tag us, too, and see if she'll respond. We'd like to be curious observers.
She's bad, that's for sure.
Wow.
No doubt.
So lots of lists coming in. So
By the way, somebody said that they rank the porn stars on Pornhub from 1 to 1,000. 1,000?
That's crazy.
There's 1,000 porn stars?
That's a saturated market right there.
Well, let's be honest, right?
998 probably has a mustache and like really hairy forearms.
But she's
like, because she does freaky stuff, she gets ranked.
You're talking about the guys, right? Oh, no.
No, I know. Females.
But the other thing is like, look, no offense to when, you know, they had the convention here and Granado's buddy was running it and they had the guests. And I mean, first they bring us the hedgehog, which is Ron Jeremy. He's a legend, right?
Yeah.
Then they bring us some girl we hadn't heard of, and she was talking about the stuff that she had done on her high school football field to get back at her high school, and now she's back.
What?
There's plenty of people that maybe got around a little too much back in the day that consider themselves a porn star as well. Yeah. So
somebody asked the question, if we were single,
okay,
would you date a porn star?
Define date.
Really?
Date.
She's your girlfriend. Would you date a porn star? Like you go out to dinner and a movie, and you know you hang out. You go to the
or do you
zoo?
Think about it and say I don't have to spend all that money?
I don't know. What do you do on dates? So just date, not a girlfriend. Would you a porn star?
I'm gonna pass.
Yeah, pass on the porn star.
I'm gonna pass on the porn star.
See,
because
dating, when you said dating, I didn't think like she had to be my girlfriend. I just figured dating.
No,
you
know, like not just.
Let's be honest. When she's your girlfriend and she's your girlfriend for any time at all, you can keep it real. If you keep it real with a porn star, it may be a gift that keeps on giving for far too long.
Well, I'm going to vote hell no.
That's what I mean.
I couldn't date a porn star.
Nope.
No way.
Do we have to be good in bed to date a porn star?
Well,
I'm sure you can't be bad.
I mean, how are you going to top that is my point. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, Nick. If you're, you know, it's like if your job is hitting baseballs, and so you're hitting baseballs all day with a professional, when I come home, I'm hoping that my partner's a home run.
Yeah. See, I just don't need that kind of pressure. Like, I don't need to be like, you know, Tommy 12 Dong was like doing this, and how come you don't do that? It's like, well, I can't.
Barry doesn't want to have the built-in next to the alarm clock, the button that goes, boop, 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 boop.
Because I'm Barry 6 over here.
Game over.
I'm sorry, Tommy 12 is doing things Barry 6 can't do. That's my, what do you want me to do? That's how Jesus made me, lady.
Barry comes into the bedroom. And all of a sudden you hear,
yeah, she's just like,
Game over.
Yeah, she's like on her iPad while we're having sex. That's a bad sign. That's not a good sign. She's updating her Twitter. Wish I was at work right now.
You're in the deep in the thrones of passion, and she's like, yes, Rico. At that point,
she'd be the only lady that fantasizes about being at work while having sex with me. She'd just be like, oh, God, I wish I was at the office right now.
Wow. That's called the B-side right there. The flip is right there.
Oh, yeah. No, I would definitely not do that. And then I would never be able to like kiss her on the cheek or anything either. Just not happening. Nope. Nope.
And by the way, so you know and why you tune in to us why. And not our boy Nate, our boys Nate and Crate over on the flip side on 1560.
Uh-oh.
While we're talking about what we're talking about, Patrick Creighton just tweeted about why he loves all things Allie Raisman and the fact that she's going to be in the SI swimsuit issue. This is why when you have choices, you've made the right one as you listen to us
I'm
right now.
I'm telling you, that's crazy.
That's dirty, Allie Raisman. You think what we're talking about is dirty? Come on. All right, so we're still getting lists. People are still chiming in.
Yeah.
We can continue to see them, but let's talk about things that are relevant in the city of Houston that are realistic, and that is the Texans and the Patriots. Brian, you've been holding. We appreciate it. You want to talk about Belichick's coaching tree?
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
That was a tough act to follow, man. I tell you what, be the first caller.
No stage fright, Brian. No stage fright.
Yeah, all right. So, anyhow, my question is, Out of all the Belichick assistants that he's played over the years, the only one that I can really remember having beat him is Mangini with the Jets a few years ago. So of everything that kind of frightens me, and there's a lot of stuff that kind of stack up against the Texans this weekend, but like I said, Belichick playing against his former coaches is probably the most frightening, I guess, if you want to call it that, as a Texan fan. To me, anyway. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I remembered Mangini. I'm with you on that. But you look at him, and it's kind of weird. I mean, he's dominated O'Brien, obviously. Didn't have a whole lot of experience with Josh McDaniels, but when he did, I'm pretty confident saying that he triumphed. I'm trying to think of the other guys under the Belichick coaching tree that he would have coached against.
I don't think he hit Cornell with the Bears.
You mean the Chiefs? Romeo Cornell was with the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, the Chiefs.
I think the percentages are pretty good. Let's put it that way.
And I think he beat McDaniel because McDaniel drafted Tebow, and I think that they went in after Denver beat Pittsburgh. I think New England went in. And
that's right.
Under McDaniel.
Yep.
Yeah, I see the point you're making, but I honestly, I don't know that it even matters as far as the tree goes, because Belichick is so much better of a coach than a lot of guys in the NFL. That I think you feel like maybe if you have one of those guys on your team, that you feel like, well, this gives us an upper hand because they have insight into how the Patriots do things. But I think history has kind of proven that that's just not necessarily the case.
Travis flipped it yesterday and said they love the fact that it's O'Brien and his offense and the things that you know, they know everything about him because he was in their building for several years.
Yeah,
so
thanks for the call, Brian, by the way.
That's a
good point. You think you know it, and then, you know, the guys are always going to make adjustments. So you might know a few tendencies here and there, but, man, guys like Belichick are so smart. You don't get to where he's at by doing the same things, you know, over and over again. Now, you may have some philosophies that they'll know or a few tendencies, but he's smart. I mean, he's who he is for a reason.
And you just made every point JJ just made to his wife.
Did I?
Yes. I didn't. You don't get to this point by doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah, over and over. Yeah.
And you have to get used to the tendencies and knowing them. I mean, I'm just thinking there overall going, that's a great way to wrap all that up. And now JJ's driving and swerving around going, oh God, how am I going home tonight? All right. So if you want to talk about the Texans, you can continue to chime in. A topic that we haven't got to yet that I wanted to get to with you guys before we get too far along in the show is the fact that we talked about the Rockets and the success that they've had and what a great regular season that they're stacking up 8 in a row now after 10 in a row earlier. But we did talk about the fact that the first major injury was Clint Capela, and they've survived that for the most part so far. Fair enough, right?
Yep.
But now tonight we find out that there is a chance Eric Gordon doesn't play because of a toe injury, which would be the first game he's missed. There's the guy, aside from James Harden, you can't afford to lose. Even if it's one night, I understand, and you hopefully it's just a one-game thing. Nick, you mentioned Charlotte's a young team. They're playing fairly good. They could come in and catch you. You can't afford to get caught. You want to avoid it because that's when the first landslide could happen, where you start stacking a few negatives that they haven't had to experience yet. It's been all ups, not a lot of downs. This one worries me a little bit. I think, all things considered, I really hope Eric Gordon plays tonight.
You know, I'm okay if he doesn't, even if they drop one. It's like I said last week, going into the week, I was good with them losing to the Magic as long as they beat the Thunder and the Raptors. And you know, I think somebody tweeted us, hey, you know, I was happy with a win against OKC and the Magic, but I'll take all three, and certainly you will. And, you know, to drop a game like this, if you're shorthanded from Eric Gordon, if it's the best thing for his long-term health, then I don't care about losing a game tonight if he sits, if that's what he needs to get back to 100% and to not have it become a nagging, recurring injury. I'd rather bite that bullet now because, you know, injuries are going to happen. And you want to see how this team will react, because you never know what could happen at the end of the season. If they lose a guy for their first series, you want to see how this team kind of reacts. You've seen it, like you said, with Capela. But to lose your sixth man, who potentially could be sixth man of the year, and I would think going into, you know, this All-Star break, he might be.
It's a two-horse race.
Man
it's him and
year.
Lou Williams of the Lakers.
So I want to see how they would react, right? What are they going to do? Who's going to step up? Because I think that will help this team in the long run when it comes to playoff time, without costing them a ton of spots in the seating.
I mean, I think the two players that are going to be getting more minutes in the event that Gordon doesn't play is who? Brewer and Ennis, I imagine. Those are the two players that would get more minutes. And if you look at what they can do to supplement the absence of Gordon, I don't know if they can do as good a job as Nene and company supplementing for the absence of Clint Capela. But the Hornets are on I think this is like the third game of like a 5 or 6 game road trip. They're two losses in a row. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world if Gordon doesn't play, but he's certainly going to be missed. You know,
here's the thing, the way I see it. Look, it's okay, Barry, and I agree with you for one game. But if this becomes a nagging injury, and I hate to say this, but the track record with Eric Gordon is little things become big things and one game becomes several. That's when I really worry about the fact that, and I hear what you're saying, because they got to be healthy for the playoffs. That's why I won't touch the playoffs and what they're going to do until I know the rosters and the health and all that other stuff, and we'll wait till after trade deadline. But it scares me because there's precedent with him and Anderson and others, but that one day, one game becomes multiples. And I don't want to see this. To me, let me rephrase that. Part of me wants to see how they react to adversity of not having Eric Gordon for a few games, and part of me says I don't want to see anything like it because it could create a tailspin. Because if James doesn't have the security blanket of Eric Gordon and he keeps doing what he's been doing and kicking it out, and guys suddenly aren't making the shots they were making, and he decides to revert back to the old James Harden who's dribbling it out, trying to do too much and turning it over, this could have a bad turn for the Rockets. So I, as much as it'll be interesting to see how they handle it, I don't want to see them have to handle it for too long because I think it could set them on a dangerous path.
Well, I'll also say this. I mean, who did you say his back you felt like would see more playing?
One of them he said was Brewer, which scares the hell out of me.
I think it's Brewer and Ennis, I think. I'm not sure if it's...
And I would venture to say you'll probably see a bit more KJ McDaniels. And this might actually turn into a positive because, you know, every year Daryl Morey is going to make a trade. Mm-hmm. And if you can get KJ McDaniels some plus minutes on the floor and kind of get him into some games, let him make a positive contribution, it may be that opportunity where you can kind of showcase the potential that this kid has to be able to make a trade.
Or it may bring to the forefront that without Eric Gordon, Corey Brewer and KJ McDaniels really can't shoot, and they both have 25-letter alphabets with no J anywhere in sight. That's also a possibility.
Yeah.
All right, Taylor, we see you. You want to talk about the red and white action going down at the Big Sequoia. We'll hit you next and get to many more calls, tweets, texts, and everything that you want to get to between now and 4 o'clock. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock, and we got another tweet in from Nestor Carmona, who said the difference between McDaniels and Brewer is that McDaniels knows he can't shoot. Brewer gotta go. I think they both, in a perfect scenario, would go to probably get you a low post presence, but some teams gotta want them, and right now, I don't think anybody wants either guy. Taylor, you want to talk about the Rockets? You've been holding a long time. We appreciate you. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I was listening yesterday. I couldn't call in. I ain't had that much phone battery juice. I ain't want to call in. But I have the call drop. But my thing was, I kind of took exception to you what you were saying on yesterday, Joel, and I know you've been around the Rockets organization. You have inside knowledge that a lot of people don't have. You know some tendencies of things. But since Alexander's been in this city owning the team, he's not afraid to pull the trigger to make some moves. And he sees it now that he has a team that can contend. Now, you're saying San Antonio make a move and the Warriors will make a move and the Cavaliers will make a move. But when have San Antonio ever made a move for a push? They're normally going to get a free agent so they can jail because it takes a little bit to get used to Popovich. I don't think the Warriors have any chips to really put out there. Their draft picks are not high. They're not going to have a good draft pick. They really don't have anyone wants. Nobody just throw them away. So this is my thing. And what I would like for the Rockets to do, I would like for the Rockets to go out to Tyson Chandler or I like the guy Covington in Philadelphia. I mean, he has a little history here, not with this team, but with the other organization. I mean, not with this coaching staff, but with the organization as a whole because he's our D-League guy. We have a little history with him. He's a mid-range guy. He can make the mid-range, can shoot the jumper when we need him. That can be a guy we can fall back on. But the thing I have with a lot of the pundits when they say, well, we're going to make a trade or ready, get rid of Rick or whatever, whatever, they never say who we're going to bring in. They don't have any.
Well, Taylor, first of all, let me stop you there. What did I say that you had an issue with? Because for the most part, what I said was these are the teams that I think either have to make a move or are going to make a move. I've said Daryl always makes at least one move. Barry just said it a minute ago. I actually have said several times the guy that you brought up first. Tyson Chandler is a guy I think, except for when you look at the money and the fact that I think he's not expiring like I thought he was. I think he's got a couple of years left, but it's still only at 12 a year. I say only based on the new NBA money. He could be a guy that could help. I'm just saying, look, I don't know the means to the end for some of these teams and how they're going to do what they're going to do, but Cleveland's already gone out and gotten Kyle Korver, and I don't think they're done. And I think that they're watching Rajon Rondo's situation very, very carefully. Sometimes you don't have to make a move. You just have to sign a guy. You look at San Antonio, and you mentioned San Antonio, but in the past, a Kevin Martin is a guy that gets released, and San Antonio takes a whim. They may never play him, but they take a shot. Tracy McGrady was in that boat one year. They're very, very, very much known for picking up that guy late in the season to have just in case on their bench. If they need him, great. And if they don't, hey, someone else isn't going to get that player, and I'm keeping them away from others while I keep them in my cupboard in case I need them.
I agree with you saying. Well, like I said, what I took is a little bit exceptional of like, you've been around the Rockets. You know that Alexander will pull the trigger. I took it as like, well, the Rockets, it was just going to stay pad. And
No. And absolutely, you're right on Les Alexander. You're right on Les Alexander to the point that I've even gone out on record several times and saying, don't give Daryl Morey credit for getting Eric Gordon. Don't give him too much credit for a lot of the moves that were made this offseason, because it was known that Les Alexander was going to re-engage because he was not happy with what the franchise had done the year previous. So he was going to get involved in all aspects of the team, the business, and it starts and ends with him. It doesn't end with him, but it starts as his top priority is anything going on in the locker room and on the court. Therefore, I give him more credit than most in terms of bringing Eric Gordon, a guy that doesn't fit the Daryl Morey number crunching mode of analytics to bring into a team like this. So I get, and Les wants to win. Look, make no doubt about it. It was ingrained in our brain. The two things he wants to do is win championships and give back to the city. So I completely think he's willing to do anything if it feels like it's going to improve the team.
Right. And that's what I was saying. I mean, that's what I didn't hear that in your soliloquy or what you were talking about yesterday. So, because I'm like, I know he's been around these guys, and I know he know Alexander's, you know, special now, man, because the Rockets, man, they're doing something special. And, you know, I think it's just one or two pieces that we can, like the guy said, we have to get rid of Brewer. There's no way he should be ever, he shouldn't get on the floor. This guy has not brought anything, even defense. I just think,
all right, Taylor, that battery thing's coming back. Your phone's about to...
He dropped a soliloquy on your ass.
He did, but it also sounded like he dropped it so hard that his battery dropped with it because that call just dropped. But we appreciate the love and the insight, yeah. And he's listening, and he's coming back on a consistent basis, and I love that. So that's been great. And look, there's a lot of passion for this Rockets team, and I keep reiterating the same thing. Enjoy the hell out of this regular season because it's special. It doesn't come along that many times, and I don't know when it's going to come around again. And I love the camaraderie and the togetherness and the style of play and the offense. And look, for all the criticism that was coming that we were all doubtful on the defensive side of the ball, they've even defended a lot better. But there's a big difference between the regular season and the playoffs. San Antonio has illustrated that beautifully over the years. Other teams have picked up on it. That's why I said yesterday LeBron is not going all out to be the man in every game during the regular season. He's deferring a little bit to Kyrie. Two part, saving himself for the playoffs a little bit and also getting Kyrie geared up to be able to be the man in the playoffs should it become necessary, so they both can go at it when needed. So it'll be interesting to see.
And somebody asked on text, why doesn't Kyle Wiltshire get any playing time? He's a shooter, and that's what this team needs. Yeah, the team needs shooters, and you might see him, but that dude doesn't know where he's at on the floor
right.
At the time. Like, he's so green out there that he just...
Yeah, you got to learn a system and a whole new way of playing and a very physical league.
If you watch, he looks lost half the time that he's out there on defense.
I keep saying this,
too. You can't afford that already.
When you're fresh out of college and you're shooting that college synthetic ball and you got to play with the NBA ball night in, night out, it's a huge adjustment. Ask Sam Decker. Ask Steve Novak. Ask a lot of guys that the Rockets have had that scored like mothers in college and shot it like nobody's business and won the college three-point shooting titles came into the league. It's a different ball game because it's a different ball, and it's also a different style of play. So those are, but Wilcher can't shoot it, but he is Ryan Anderson. So why do you need him? Ryan Anderson just has to shoot more consistently, bottom line. All right, so we've gotten Texans, we've gotten Rockets, we've gotten national championship, we've gotten big guns and big guns.
Yeah, did you ever get Big Swole, Nick? You're supposed to make that happen.
Actually, we did get the office number.
Did you really? I was just joking.
Someone called in and gave us the office number. So I'm
how many times have you called it?
I haven't called it yet because I was waiting for a good time, but we can try and
Dude, that is great.
Now, he may be traveling back from Tampa, but if he's available, we want to talk to him about his workout program.
I want to talk to Big Swole, see if he's trying to just, you know, make Ed Hockley look bad.
Our New Year's resolution can be the Big Swole workout program for referees and you.
I like it.
Video to follow. Hey, we can put the video on the website. I guarantee you we'll get some hits. All right, we've got two in the books, one to go, an hour more of this big show, and we want you to be a part of it. 713-780-ESPN. Text us, call us, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.